Chapter 46. Now on the fourth day of the month of Panimos, Vespasianos went off to Ptolemais. From there, he came to Caesarea by the sea. This was both one of the largest cities of Judah, and inhabited primarily by Hellenes. Now the citizens received the army and its general with blessings and congratulations of every kind. And this was prompted, indeed, partly by goodwill toward the Romans, but mainly by enmity of the vanquished Judeans. And this resentment showed itself in a clamoring demand for my punishment. But by his silence, Vespasianos dissolved this petition, which was emanating from an incompetent multitude. And it was by his direction that I married one of the women taken captive at Caesarea, a virgin, a native of that place. Now of his three legions, two he indeed established for their winter quarters in Caesarea, having found the city suitable for the purpose. But the 15th legion he sent to Scuthopolis, in order that he might not burden Caesarea with his entire army. Now since Caesarea is situated in the plain and on the coast, its climate, like Scuthopolis, is as warm in winter as it is suffocatingly burning hot in the summer. Now the Judeans, both those who had been driven from the cities by sedition, and the refugees whose homes had been destroyed, had united into no small multitude. To provide themselves with a base of operations, they rebuilt Yafo, which had been recently desolated by Cestios. And then, finding themselves cut off from the country, which had passed into the hands of their foes, they resolved to take to the sea. They also built themselves a fleet of piratical ships and made raids on the traffic along the coast of both Syria and Phoenicia and the route to Egypt, also rendering navigation in those seas quite impossible. Now, as soon as Vespasianos had learned of this gang, he dispatched both infantry and cavalry to Yafo, who, finding the city unguarded at night, entered it. But its inhabitants had indeed received news of the coming attack, and in their anxiety, they made no attempt to oppose the Romans, but instead sought refuge in their ships, where they passed the entire night out of reach of their arrows. Now nature had not provided Yafo with a port, for it terminates in a rugged shore, which indeed runs for nearly its whole length in a straight line, but is slightly curved at its two extremities in crescent fashion. But these horns consist of steep cliffs and reefs jutting far out into the sea. But the north wind fully beats upon the coast and dashes the waves high against the face of the rocks, rendering this roadstead more perilous to sailors than a desert. It was here where those of Yafo were tossing in the sea. When toward dawn, a furious wind burst upon them. It is called the Black Norther by the navigators in those parts. And indeed, some of the ships were dashed to pieces against each other on the spot. But others were shattered upon the rocks. For many, dreading both this rock-strewn coastland and their foes who occupied it, strove to gain the open sea in the teeth of the gale. Not only this, but they were immersed beneath the towering waves. Now, there was neither means to flee, nor hope of salvation if they remained where they were. Indeed, the violence of the wind repelled them from the sea, while the Romans repelled them from the city. And piercing indeed were the shrieks as the vessels collided, but fearsome the crash as they broke in pieces. And of the crew who perished, some indeed were engulfed in the waves, but many were crushed by the wreckage from which they could not extricate themselves. But others, regarding the iron sword as a lighter evil than the sea, slaughtered themselves before they could drown. Yet truly, the majority were swept to the shore by the waves, their bodies hurled and mangled against the cliffs. Indeed, a wide seascape was red with their blood, but the coast was covered with corpses. For even the Romans lining the beach utterly destroyed those who washed up. Now the number of bodies which washed up amounted to 4,200. But the Romans took the city without opposition, completely demolishing it. Therefore, this was indeed how, after a brief interval, Yafo was captured by the Romans for the second time. But Vespasianus, in order to prevent these pirates from recongregating there, established an encampment on the summit city and left the cavalry in it with a small body of infantry. Indeed, the infantry was to remain in the place in order to guard the encampment, while the cavalry was to ravage the vicinity and destroy both the village and small cities around Yafo. Therefore, indeed, in obedience to these orders, they daily scoured the country, both pillaging and reducing it to an utter desert. Now when the message concerning Yodfat's misfortune reached Jerusalem, it was indeed received at first with overall disbelief, because of the magnitude of the calamity, and because no eyewitness had come to confirm the report. For not one man had escaped as a messenger of the news. Instead, rumor, with its natural propensity to black tidings, spontaneously declared the news of the city's fall. But little by little, the truth made its way from place to place and was soon regarded by everyone as established beyond doubt. Yet truly, the facts were also embroidered by fiction. For a message was circulated that I, Joseph, had also died when the city had been captured. Now this message filled Jerusalem with the profoundest grief. Yet, indeed, in every house and family, the relatives mourned for the ones they had lost. But the lamentation for the general was public. And indeed, some mourned for a guest friend, but others for a relative, but others for a friend, but others for a brother. But everyone mourned for me. This was indeed how for 30 days, the lamentations never ceased in the city. But many of the mourners hired flute players to accompany their funeral dirges. But when time revealed the truth and everything which had certainly happened at Yadfot, my death was found to be a fiction. But it became known that I was alive and in Roman hands, and that I was being treated by the commanders with respect, exceeding the common lot of a prisoner. At this, the demonstration of their anger was as loud as the former expressions of goodwill which they had shown toward me when they had believed I was dead. And indeed, some abused me as a coward, but others as a traitor. Throughout the city, there both was overall indignation and revilement toward me. But the citizens were aggravated by their reverses, and their misfortunes only added fuel to the flames. Yet truly, a defeat which induces caution in wise men, as well as care to provide against similar misadventures, only spurred them to further calamities. And the end of one distress was always the beginning of the next. Accordingly, thinking that their revenge on the Romans would allow them to also take revenge on me, they were resolved to attack them with greater anger. Therefore, this was indeed the state of agitation prevailing in Jerusalem.